Hi, this is Dr. Diane Hayden, and I am the publisher and owner of Natural Nutmeg Magazine, Essential Living Maine Magazine, and a series of book collaborations. The most recent one that we are releasing soon is The Power of Coaching, and we have a group of life coaches from all different walks that are experts in a bunch of different areas that we are introducing into this book. Everything from leadership coaching to relationship coaching to coaching for finances, career coaching, coaching for women on life purpose and just finding balance. And we are really excited about this upcoming book because it really gives people an introduction to what coaching is, why you would want to hire a coach. And even if you're possibly interested in pursuing coaching as a profession, a lot of information on that as well. So today I have on the phone with me Deb Elbaum, and she is the author of the chapter Making Moments Count, How to Recognize and Claim Your Life Purpose. And Dr. Deb Elbaum is a certified career and life coach who helps her clients get clear about their choices, take action, trust their decisions, and create intentional change. She works with professionals who are navigating career transitions, women who are re-entering the workforce, and individuals who are seeking more purpose in life. Before becoming a coach, Deb worked as a physician and medical writer. In addition to being a coach, author, speaker, wife, and mother, Deb is a founding fellow at the Harvard Medical School Affiliated Institute of Coaching, a nonprofit organization dedicated to furthering quality research on coaching. She is also a coach and workshop presenter for the Institute for Career Transitions at Massachusetts Institute of Technology, an organization supporting long-term unemployed individuals. Her bachelor's degree in psychology is from Harvard, her MD degree is from the University of Pennsylvania, and her coaching certification is from the Coaches Training Institute. She lives in Massachusetts with her husband and 3 children. So thanks so much for being with us today, Deb, and welcome.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
Yeah, it's great. So I always like to start these calls with getting into kind of your journey on how you became a coach. And I'm sure the people who are listening, after hearing that you're a physician, are probably wondering, how did she make that transition? So, yeah, I mean, just tell us a little bit about, like, you know, your journey and going from, you know, the medical world to coaching, and if there were any kind of life events that transpired that kind of brought you down that path and all of that.
Sure. I always knew that I wanted to work with people, helping people. And when I was younger, I thought that would be by becoming a doctor and becoming a psychiatrist. When it came to my medical training, though, I already had 1 child. And I found it really hard to balance being a mom and my medical training. And so instead, I took my medical background and I created a career as a medical writer, writing about patient information articles so people could understand different medical conditions. And although I liked this, I always missed working with directly with people. So a few years ago, I thought that I really needed to get back into this, and I thought about all the different things that I could do, from going back to my medical training to becoming a massage therapist or a psychologist or a coach. And I talked with lots of different people, and one woman I talked with was a coach, and she was amazing. And I said, I want to do what you do. And she said, well, then sign up for this program. I looked into that program and spoke with the faculty and signed up. And that's how I became a coach.
Wow. Yeah, that's awesome. And how long have you been coaching?
I've been coaching for 2.5 years, and I love it. I feel so fortunate to have found the program I did and the people I did through the program.
Right. And actually, that leads me to my next question. That there are so many options out there, I think, for coach training. And I definitely have had these discussions with some of our other authors on these different teleconferences about the difference between, you know, like a true accredited coaching school or program, I'll call it, and then some of these things that we see that are like weekend long or week long that they say are certifications, but they're really not, you know, what we would consider a true, you know, coaching program through one of the, you know, accredited institutions, which typically takes a year and a half, if not longer. So you went to CTI, correct?
Yes, Coaches Training Institute, CTI.
And how did you decide that you wanted to go through that one versus all the others that are out there?
I have to admit I didn't do a lot of other research. So the coach that I admired went to CTI, and when I called CTI and spoke with their faculty, they coached me. They showed me what their coaching was like, and I was so impressed that I really didn't look any further. I loved that they had in-person training, and in-person training in Boston, which is where I live. I really wanted to meet people. I didn't want to do my training virtually over the phone. So you're right that it was about a year and a half because it's an accredited program with the International Coach Federation, the ICF, which is the governing body that accredits the program. And so it was about 5 months of training, classes, and then about a year for the certification process, which included supervision and, at the end, oral exams and written exams.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a larger majority, I think, of the authors that went to CTIs. Sounds like everybody absolutely loves that program, and just the hands-on training that you get is good. And like you said, there definitely are virtual programs where you can pretty much do everything, you know, on your own from your home. But I agree. You know, I think that the in-person stuff is really valuable.
Right. And we had people come from all over the country to Boston for the classes, which really surprised me. I thought it was just going to be local people. So we have people from all over, and now I have friends all over the world who are coaches, which is really fun.
Yeah. So I remember from my coach training that there was definitely a difference that was demonstrated or that they talked to us about in terms of the difference between psychology and coaching. And so I find it interesting that is your background, and I remember them saying something like, you know, if you come from a psychology background, you might find it difficult to transition into being a coach because we're not dealing with therapy, we're not dealing with past issues. So I'm just curious, I mean, did you, for anybody who maybe has a psych background, did you find that the transition was difficult, or did you think it actually made it easier?
I did not find it difficult because I embraced the coaching model and I embraced the learning. I really let go of a lot of my past learning for the class. It's interesting, a lot of clients ask about the difference between therapy and coaching, and a lot of them actually do work with therapists and do work with me, which is great. I think there's room for everything. I say that coaching is really about what you want to create going forward. It starts with a positive basis. What do you good at, what are your strengths, what do you know about yourself to be true, and working from there, creating the life you want. A lot of the psychology and psychiatry looks to understand past issues or past behaviors, so it complements it, but they are different, and they have a different focus.
Right, yeah, and I like what you said about you can do it in conjunction, and I remember, you know, learning a lot about that in coach training too, that it's fine, you know, it probably is good for certain clients to be also in, you know, therapy as well as going through coaching. Because I think that way they see the difference too in terms of how you work with them versus how a therapist works with them.
Absolutely. And really, don't we need all the support we can get in
life? that is exactly true. Nothing wrong with that. So in the last 2.5 years that you've been coaching, I'm wondering what you have found that has, you know, helped you build your practice. What do you think has made you more successful? Because I find that there are a lot of coaches coming out of programs that some are struggling, some have never built a business, they have no idea, you know, about any kind of marketing or entrepreneurship, and really, that's, unless you're going to work for a company as a coach, if you have your own practice, you really are, you know, building a business, and you do have to learn some business skills. But what would you say, you know, has helped you, or what kinds of things have you done that have made you successful?
I have a great community of coaches, And we bounce ideas off each other, and we act as accountability partners for each other. So if I say, this is what I'm wanting to do with my business, they get behind me and say, great, do it. When are you going to do it by? When are you going to let us know? So that I know that there are people who are really championing me just the way that I champion my clients. I also do a ton of networking. So I mainly work with people who are in career transition, all forms of career transition. And one of the things I tell them over and over is you have to network. You have to build relationships. That's how we learn about opportunities. That's how we make connections. So I practice what I preach. I am always meeting new people, coaches and non-coaches, to tell them about what I do and to hear about what they do. And I'm getting visible by teaching workshops and classes locally. And I'm also involved with larger organizations. So I believe in collaborating with other people. As you mentioned in my bio, I am affiliated with the Institute of Coaching at McLean Hospital. And for them, I write research summaries for their monthly newsletter. So that keeps me abreast of coaching research. I'm also involved with the Institute for Career Transitions, which is currently at MIT but will probably be moving to UMass. And that is an organization that supports people who are long-term unemployed. So we put on a boot camp, a weekend conference for people who are unemployed with a bunch of other coaches. And I also coach for a company that helps women who want to re-enter the workforce after having taken time off.
Mm-hmm. I like what you said about networking, because I think that is, you know, one of the invaluable things that you absolutely have to do. And the reason you said it, I mean, you never know who you're going to meet. In fact, the reason why this whole book came about was because I happened to meet Kelly at a networking meeting.
Right.
So, you know, I mean, you never know. So I think you absolutely do have to get yourself out there. I'm wondering if a lot of people just kind of, you know, hold themselves up in their home office and figure that, well, you know, if I create this, if I do enough on social media or online or whatever, the people will just come. And, you know, I think those are good funnels, but you definitely have to be out there. And you certainly have, you know, your hand in a lot of different arenas where you can meet people to potentially get clients.
Absolutely. And I think it lets people see who you are as a coach, too, because coaching is all about the relationship. People have to see if they like how I work, if they like the way I ask questions and the different exercises I use. And they're not going to know that just from my website.
Right. Exactly. Yep. So that interaction is huge. Do you do any other kind of marketing?
I'm listed on different coaching websites. So there's one in Canada that's based in Canada I'm listed on. I'm listed on the International Coach Federation website. What other marketing do I do? And a lot of word of mouth. I go to networking events and use my website. And I'm going to be launching a new program in the upcoming year called the Institute of Confidence. So I'm really passionate about helping people build their confidence in all areas of their life, and I'm looking forward to building that too, to creating a new program.
Oh, that is cool. And definitely something that's needed, that's for sure. And especially, I mean, pretty much for everybody.
everybody.
Yeah, everybody can use more confidence, that's for sure. We always have that defeating self-talk, you know, about what we should have done or what we could have done better or whatever. Especially, I think, with people that are in transition, of career transition, I think that would be very helpful because, you know, maybe they were laid off or whatever happened that they're not in their current position. It can be, you know, scary, but also I think, like, there can be self-esteem issues if you're not working and if you've been out of work for a while. And so I think that would be an awesome program for people in those situations.
It is so hard. I know what it's like to go through career transition. People close to me have gone through career transition. It can be really hard and demoralizing and really hard to keep that positive attitude. So I have a lot of compassion and empathy and understanding, as well as I know that people need to do things. They need to take action to go out and meet people and do other things to land that job.
Right, so exactly. Did you say it was going to be an online program, like a virtual program, or?
I think there'll be a virtual component and an in-person component.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, that's great. That's great.
Yeah, exciting.
So, so tell us a little bit more about what, you know, how you work with people and, you know, specifically with transition, but if you find that there are other types of clients that come to you and what they come to you for?
Sure. Most clients come to me because they're in some sort of career transition, so this might be they're actively looking for a job or they're in a job and thinking about looking. And I also work, as I mentioned before, with a lot of women who have taken time off to raise a family or for other reasons who now want to go back to work or start their own business. And so what I do, I do what a lot of other coaches do, but I make it my own. So I ask a lot of powerful questions in my coaching. I use exercises and visualizations. And I think what makes me different is I also use the body a lot in coaching. So we all know that when we change our body, it changes how we feel. I'm guessing you know this. If you exercise or run,
yep. You
feel better. Yep. Or if you do yoga, you feel calmer. I bring a lot of the body into my coaching.
That is really interesting. I think you are the first person that I've heard say that. So,
oh, really?
Yeah. Well, can you elaborate? Like, do you actually do physical types of movements with a client, or is it more just when you're coaching, you bring that information in to, you know, help educate them about why it's important and why they, you know, should be doing those things?
Sure, it's very experiential. So I don't really educate people. I have them experience it. So even most of my clients I coach over the phone. A few of them are in person, but most are over the phone. Even over the phone, while we're talking, I won't let a client just sit for the whole call. Because when you sit, you don't open up your thinking. So I'll have them get up, I'll have them move around, and I'll have them power pose. You know about power posing? Amy Cuddy has done a lot of work, and she delivered a TED Talk about power posing.
I think I saw it, but why don't you explain that? Because I'm sure a lot of people are not familiar.
Sure. So power posing is standing in a really confident posture. It involves standing strong with your legs strong, your body strong, your shoulders back, your head up, and your arms can be extended in some way, so out to the side or on your hips or down at your sides. But when you stand this way, Amy Cuddy has shown that it lowers your stress hormone, lowers your cortisol, and raises your confidence hormone. It actually works. So I encourage all my clients, especially those who are networking or interviewing for jobs, to power pose before they network and interview. And so I do a lot of work around having them power pose in conjunction with changing their thoughts about themselves, so building on their strengths and who they are.
Yeah, that is cool. So tell us again the name of the speaker for the TED Talk.
Sure. Her name is Amy Cuddy. It's Cuddy.
Okay.
It's a great TED Talk. If you Google Amy Cuddy TED Talk, you will find it.
I remember seeing that too, because again, it totally stood out to me, like, wow, you know, this makes sense, but I bet it's something that most people never even think about. And if I remember correctly, she did have a lot of research on, like you were saying, like physiological changes when you either stand or sit in a way that is not, not confident versus a way that does portray self-confidence. It's really fascinating.
It's really fascinating. She does have a lot of experiments that she goes into and talks about them.
Yeah. You mentioned confidence hormone. Is there actually such a thing?
I think she called it testosterone.
Okay. I was going to say, I'm like, oh,
lay language.
Right, lay language is awesome, but yeah, that is great. That is really cool. So,
And the thing that I remind my clients is it's a choice. We have a choice before we go to an interview about how we prepare. Just like athletes, they don't run onto the field or the court and start playing. They prepare mentally and they prepare physically. So it's the same thing. People in career transition or going to network or going to interview can absolutely choose to prepare mentally and physically so that they're as confident and empowered as possible.
Right, yeah. It's a lot of, like you see information on athletes that do like a lot of visualization training and mental imagery, so they actually like visualize themselves hitting the golf ball a particular way or making the shot or whatever it is. And it absolutely can be, it should be translated into doing the same things in other areas of your life, like you said, getting ready for an interview.
Right.
Right, just basically visualize, you know, how you're going to respond, how you want to hold yourself, your presence, and also the outcome, too, I think, like, you know, visualizing a positive outcome.
Right, and so with clients, I often ask, what are the three words you're wanting the person to say about you after the interview? What's that intention you want to put forth for yourself? So some people might say, I want to come across as relatable, intelligent, friendly. Great. When you have that intention, it's much more likely to happen.
Right. Exactly. Especially, and I think that also helps you to kind of get out of your head. If you're focusing on something like that, then there's no room to focus on the negative or, you know, what might go wrong or if you're really nervous. So I think those are great points.
Right.
Yeah. So, for people who are listening that are really interested in possibly going through a coach training and becoming a life coach, what do you have any like tips or pieces of advice that you would give somebody who's thinking about going down this path?
I do. I say talk with people. So do some research. Talk to people at different programs and see if you can get coached by the faculty at the different programs so that you can see their style and how they work. I also recommend people who are in a coach training program to have your own coach. I've had my own coaches over the years who have been invaluable. And I think start creating a community. Find like-minded people so that you have people to go through this journey with.
Yeah, those are great points. I mean, I think almost everybody that I've interviewed so far has said that one of the reasons they decided to, you know, go down the path of becoming a coach was because of somebody that they knew who had either gone through the process or they had hired a coach and they just loved the, you know, the interaction and the process so much that they decided that was what they wanted to do. So,
right.
Yeah, I think talking to people is very important, like just, you know, get out there, ask as many questions, you know, contact as many people who are already coaches in all different areas to see, you know, their experiences and what, you know, what might be a fit for you in picking a particular niche. That's one thing we didn't really touch on that much, you and I, as far as, you know, how important do you think it is to have a particular niche within coaching?
I think if you ask different coaches, you'll get different opinions. In general, I think it's important to have some sort of focus
mm-hmm.
because you can't be all things to all people. That being
right.
said, I think when you're starting out, some people know the types of people they want to work with and some people really don't, and that's okay. It's okay to have it evolve over time. I feel like for me, when I started out, I didn't really know who I wanted to work with, and it's really evolved into working with people who are in career transition and women who are going back to work and confidence-building work.
Right. Yeah,
so it's
exactly.
okay. Here, I guess my main point is, like, don't beat yourself up. If you have one, great. Maybe it'll evolve over time. That's fine. If you don't, you'll figure it out.
Yeah, I agree with that, too. Sometimes it does take getting into it and going through, you know, a bunch of different clients to see, you know, what you're really passionate about and what you think you're good at and the kind of people that are drawn to you, too. I mean, sometimes I think that almost determines your niche. I remember somebody said, my niche picked me. Because it was just the kind of people that were drawn to her. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. And the other thing I wanted to just reiterate that you said that I thought was great is having a coach. And while you're going through this coach training, I think pretty much all of the accredited schools have you do this. You coach someone and somebody coaches you. So you get into that whole process right away. But even, you know, even back then having a novice coach coaching me, there were some really helpful, invaluable things that she helped me with, or she kind of reframed for me, because I was actually starting my magazine at the same time that I was going through a coaching program. And so she really helped me with, you know, talking me off the ledge sometimes when I was like, you know, is anybody going to advertise? Is anybody going to read this thing?
Right.
So that was, yeah, that was great. And I've had a coach ever since, too. And I think that it's just, you know, it's, a lot of people may think it's like a luxury, sort of like we think about massage sometimes, but, you know, I'm sure you will agree, I can't tell you how valuable it's been just to have that person to, you know, bounce ideas off of, to reframe your thinking if you're, you know, if you're kind of going down the wrong path or you're just getting frustrated or whatever. It's been, you know, my coaches have been amazing.
Absolutely. I think the best part of having a coach is that a coach is an objective sounding board who's your cheerleader.
Right.
They're helping you achieve your goals, and they do it objectively. They don't have a stake in it. So it's very different than talking with a friend or a spouse or a sibling or parent.
Exactly. Yep. And they really hold the space for you to, you know, figure out what path it is you want to go down.
Right.
And like you said, you know, sometimes it's when you're talking with somebody close to you, there's a lot of input or what's the word I want to use? You know, suggestion, I guess, or trying to convince you to go a certain way or not based on what they think or whatever, whereas your coach really just holds that space for you to dig down and really, you know, figure out what it is that you want, regardless of, you know, the other people around you.
Right. And I think that's the beauty of coaching, that it is an opportunity for us to get clear on who we are and what the work we're meant to do in this world is.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah. So you told us a little bit about one of the new programs that you have. I wanted to just make sure we had time to talk a little bit about your practice, you know, the kinds of clients that you work with, that you're looking to work with, and anything else, any other programs or anything that you have coming up in the future?
Okay, sure. My practice, like I said, I coach people virtually, so my clients are all over the country. Most of the time they come to me because they're in some sort of career transition, but we end up addressing areas in their whole life because we all know that each part of our life affects every other part of our life.
Mm-hmm.
And what do I have coming up? I have some classes coming up that I'm teaching locally. So I'm teaching a class called Learn to Love Networking at my in the town where I live in Newton. And I'll be teaching a spirituality class in the fall, spirituality and coaching. I'm really looking forward to that too. And
then
I have
a book
chapter. Yeah. I think what I like about myself is that I bring all of who I am to my coaching. So I have this intellectual research side, as we talked about, and I also have this energetic spirituality side. I'm trained in Reiki and a bit of Eden energy medicine, and I've taken a lot of spirituality classes. So what I like is that I get to use all of it in my coaching with my clients.
I think that's awesome because I think sometimes that's overlooked, and it's, you know, it's really an important factor to bring that in because I think you can, you know, you can teach people how to be more in tune to, you know, their purpose, you know, what they're here to do, maybe from an intuitive perspective, and just in general, you know, blending those two things together, I think, is really interesting and unique.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah. Cool. Is that class a live class or is that a virtual class?
That's going to be a live class. Both of them are going to be live. And then I'm going to be thinking about launching my virtual classes so that I can reach more people.
Yeah, definitely. That's awesome. And is the spirituality and coaching class for the layperson or would like other coaches be interested in that?
It's not really for coaches. It's more for lay people. But
yeah.
That's a great idea to think about doing something for coaches. I like that idea, Diane.
Yeah. Well, I am the marketing person. Always thinking.
You are the idea person.
Yeah,
and
I'll mention my
website name. So it's my name, www.debelbaum.com.
Okay.
And my
great.
Email is deb@debelbaum.com.
That's easy.
Awesome. It is easy.
Yes, just getting back to that quickly, I think that would be a great class. What I was thinking was, because there's probably many coaches that don't necessarily bring a spirituality concept into their practice, that might be something that you could, you know, create a curriculum around for other coaches.
It's so important to have some sort of spirituality or energetic practice of your own when you're a coach, I think. Because what we're really doing is talking about people's purpose in life. Like you mentioned before, people, why are we here in this world? What are the gifts we have to share with other people? And so you have to have some sense of that yourself as a coach in order to help your clients tap into that.
Yeah, exactly.
I will work on it. I will get busy thinking about it.
That's awesome. Great. So people can find you by going to debalbom.com.
Mm-hmm.
And they can get your email address and learn about any of the programs and things like that and just general coaching, you know, with you. And we are super excited about this book that's going to be coming out in a month or so. And thank you for being an author, all of you guys. You know, we wouldn't have a book if it wasn't for all of you guys, so we are very appreciative of that. And it's definitely going to be a phenomenal resource for sure.
Yes, and thank you. I'm honored to be part of it.
Oh, great. And thanks for being on the call today. And hopefully people will connect with you on your website. And we will talk with you soon.
Great. Thank you so much, Diane.
Thanks. Have a great day.
You too.
Bye.
Bye. Hello?